It's Tuesday. Welcome to Tokash Shorts, the new show that told you that NVIDIA is not really your friend. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm disappointed. I mean, Rusty.
And, yeah. So, it's been a common trend, and I think it's a common trend amongst all gaming sites to talk about the impact of AI and hardware costs on gaming, and I think this is just another way that's happening. So, I think everybody here knows what NVIDIA GeForce Now is, right? You guys do, at least. If you've never used it, in fact, there's somebody at work that I work, you know, I work with people that travel for work quite a bit. So I use my Steam Deck, and then one of the people that I work with that travels uses GeForce Now. And on his NVIDIA Shield, he's able to play games that he owns that are part of that service remotely. So he uses the power of the interwebs to stream games from a server through NVIDIA's GeForce Now service. So kind of
that is rendered natively on their servers and streamed to you, and their compression's really good. Like, it's almost lossless compression.
It is a really good service. He's shown me stuff like playing Cyberpunk in the middle of El Salvador. So, like, yeah, and that was on hotel internet. It wasn't doing bad. But yeah, so like they're putting a cap on it. So there's going to be universal 100-hour cap starting now. So we're recording in January. January 1st, they started the 100-hour playtime cap.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now, important to quantify, this is a cap that they actually instituted for new subscribers back in November 2024. It's just that they didn't enforce it with existing subscribers. They're now enforcing it with existing subscribers.
It still feels bad. It definitely still feels bad. Like, yeah, I mean, I spent 150, something like that just in the last, it wasn't 150, 115, in the last couple weeks on Elden Ring. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when you sit down and you game, you can eat up that 100 hours really easy, like really quickly.
Yeah,
especially if you're like
if you're us. Mobile all the time. Well, and if you're us,
right? Well, I mean,
if you exclusively stream your gaming, this would be really easy to hit.
Oh, easy. Yeah. I mean,
but like if it were me and I were doing it just to be able to play things on like a 5080 class card, right? I'd almost never breach the 100 hours.
You might
play them remotely.
Well, I don't. I barely watch TV. So for me, if I game 5 hours a day, I probably game 120 to 150 hours a month.
Right.
Yeah. Man,
it's insane. Like, yeah, there's some people like us that would use the crap out of it, right? And I'm sure that there's people who wouldn't use it, use all 100 hours. And from what I can tell, there's concessions both directions here, right? So you end up using too much, you end up getting overages, right? Or extra charges. No. If you don't use all of it, you end up rolling some of it over, right?
Now, that said, no, there's no rollover, but there are additional playtime costs, if I'm right, Justin. While they're not super forgiving, they're not completely horrible either, aren't they, in like 15-hour blocks?
Yeah, it depends on what tier you're in, though. So I want to kind of explain that. So you've got performance tier and then you got ultimate tier. So ultimate tier gives you a higher quality experience. The ultimate tier is $19.99 a month or $199 a year, and it puts you on 4080 class hardware for what they say up to 4K resolution or up to 120 FPS with 8-hour session limits. That's something that this article didn't say. So you have an 8-hour session limit. And with that, for an additional $5.99, you can purchase up to 15 hours. And that will roll over the next month. We all know that's not going to last. Now, there's a performance tier, and what the performance tier gives you is it's $9.99 a month or $99 a year. That gives you 100 or 1080p at 60 FPS, but it has a 6-hour session limit. The things that you don't know is you're essentially renting hardware, though. So you're renting hardware. You still have to own these games.
Right. I was about to say, this is just for the privilege of streaming it.
Correct. So ultimately, is it cheaper than buying a gaming PC? I think so, right? Like, let's say before everything went crazy, right? You buy yourself a 4090 and you buy everything you need for your PC. If I was to price out my PC a few years ago, we're talking about $3,500, right? Worth way more now that RAMs went out, crazy. But it would be kind of worth it if you've got a really strong internet connection, aside from the fact that you're time gated on your gameplay. And that part is pretty weird.
So the time gating, I mean, I get that
you have to queue. You have to queue to get started too.
Oh shit, really?
Yes.
My God. I get that they introduced the cap back in 2024, and that was really before like the AI boom. So I can't say for sure that this is based off of like recent shit from AI, because NVIDIA has gone from a gaming company that makes gaming hardware to an AI company that makes AI hardware. And they're constantly and consistently sacrificing their gaming lines building out for gamers. So,
but here's the thing is because they're pushing so much AI hardware right now, they're also dropping the production of their GPUs by 30 to 40% for their 5000 series or 50 series GPUs right now.
Which then drives people to looking at options like this.
Correct.
Because they can't get their hands on the hardware, or the hardware is so expensive that it's just not cost effective. Yet here you go. They're basically saying, well, you only got 100 hours of the game in you, and you can only do that in 8-hour blocks. And if you want more, you can pay for more. But, I mean, it feels wrong. It really feels wrong. Like, it used to be, back in my day, it used to be that if you wanted a PC game, PC game. You either bought or built your machine, and you kind of had to resign yourself to every 4 to 6 years or so, you were going to need to do some kind of upgrade to your machine to keep up with changing game requirements. Going with a selection like this, yeah, they could probably say, you know what, the next iteration of like the 6000 series cards, if they ever fucking exist. If that happens, then they could say, oh yeah, the ultimate tier is now 5080 cards, and this is what you should, what you would expect at that, and maybe bump it up a buck or two, and there you go. They've got a way to, use up all of their extra stock, throw it into a server, and whenever the cycles aren't going towards the gamers, they can use those cycles for other things, which is 110% what they're going to do.
Well, we're in the system right now, like going through looking at, this is my sources. I've been Reddit trolling, right? Not trolling, but like looking through Reddit threads. A lot of people kind of talking about that this is like the slow motion end of PC gaming potentially, right? Because the model seems to be that with this, with everything being a data center right now, right, that we just node in to whatever that data center is and rent forever your hardware essentially instead of owning stuff right outright. And I don't like that kind of dystopian future. I really like building my own computer.
I get you. I totally get you. From, you know, from a PC builder standpoint, like I can see both sides because A, I'm a PC builder, always have been. Been building PCs since before I even owned a car. That is something that I'm familiar with. My family knows that I'm familiar with it. I built everybody's machine, basically. Made a career out of it, right? But in my career of working with PCs, I can also see basically the appeal of a thin client style structure where all of the large compute is centralized and you are basically taking some of that compute and streaming it downstream to the end user. That end user doesn't have to get into, the super expensive hardware or the maintenance of anything. They just log on, do what they need to do, whether that be play games, render, whatever, and log off again. They don't need anything more than a browser at that point to be able to do what they need to do. And that has appeals for a lot of things. Yeah, it sucks for people like us to build PCs and want to be able to tinker and maintain our own equipment. And it definitely sucks with, if this was unlimited, I don't think I'd have nearly as much problem with it. The problem is that they're now putting limits and overages, and it starts to feel like a cell phone service at that point, where it used to be long distance phone calls. You used to, you remember that shit? Long distance phone calls required you to call people at a specific hour of the day, or only talk for a certain amount of time. Otherwise, you would have an overage, and you would end up having to pay a penalty on your bill. It feels very similar to that. And it was only after the infrastructure was in place for the cell phone services that you started to see unlimited data, unlimited talk and text, things like that. We're at a point where the data center is becoming more and more prevalent. And there's a lot of pushback, for that, of course. But when data centers become prevalent enough that the infrastructure is all there for it, and everybody's basically, has access to this streaming, and this is basically the norm, what I see going down the road is that these overages would go away. The price might go up a little bit, but you wouldn't see, I don't see overages or limits like this. I see it more kind of like a cell phone service would be. Do I like this model? No, I don't. I hate it. I would prefer having the machine right on my desk. I don't like always on internet. So if I want to play something offline, I should have the option to do so.
I like the option to mod.
And that's another thing. The option to mod is questionable, especially if you don't have access to the hardware, or if it's not running locally. You might not be able to mod. You might not have, you might not have admin access to the, virtual machine that you're running on. I almost guarantee you won't, just for security purposes. But that's a crazy thing. Like, there's arguments for and against. I am most against the time limit. I think that is the thing that I am most against.
I am most against not owning my stuff.
I get that. But in today's market, if somebody wanted to PC game, it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous. And this might be the only option. And it does have its benefits. Like, you don't necessarily need to be home to be able to play the game that you were playing, you know.
But you need no data limits on your service on your phone. You need.
No, I get that. You know, like, for instance, you know, not saying I would ever do this, but if I was at work on my break and I wanted to play 15 minutes of Elden Ring, I could just log in, provided that there isn't that much of a queue. And I'd be able to pick up right where I left off, right? No matter where I'm at in the world, as long as I've got good internet access, or at least halfway decent internet access, you know, provided that the stream compression is good enough. You know, it has benefits, but do those benefits outweigh what we lose as hardware owners and, you know, PC gamers? And that is the big question.
Well, I'd like to know what you guys think. Let us know in the comments section here on YouTube, but find full episodes at tiltcast.com on iTunes and Spotify. And also come back on Thursday for more news. We'll catch you then.